I'm glad you're here today. Go ahead and open your Bible back to Luke chapter 6. Let's go to our Father in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we have feasted this morning on your perfect Son. We have gathered at his table and remembered his gifts. And Father, we find our sustenance through your Spirit. And as we study your Holy Scriptures today, I pray, Father, that our spirit is renewed. Renewed after you. Father, your love for us is great. And we confess to you that our love for you can be pathetic. We pray, Lord, that you forgive us. We pray, Lord, that we turn to you for forgiveness. We pray, Lord, that we find strength and renewal each and every time. And we pray, Lord, that we continue to walk in the steps of Jesus. We offer this prayer in his holy name. Amen. Luke chapter 6. Josh brought us a difficult word this morning. And just made me think of this, that would be fun if the one that read the scripture didn't tell me what they were reading beforehand, and that's what I had to follow. That'd be good. And I try to bring a little levity, because in Luke chapter 6, Jesus looks at those who have come to hear him, who have come to expect the one sent by God, and Jesus looks right at him and he says, look, here's what I'm going to tell you. Love your enemies. Here's what I'm going to tell you. Love your enemies. And I have heard, I have studied so many different ways for this to be taught, for it to be shared. And I'll be honest with you. I mean, because you probably have as well. You have heard the angle of turning the other cheek, by offering them the opposite cheek. You are forcing them to use a dishonorable hand, and so you are pointing out the ridiculous nature of their violence. And if they sue you and take your coat, that you should just strip in front of them and make a spectacle of the whole thing. And I get that. I've also talked to so many people who said, well, you know, we only have two cheeks to turn, and then after that, we'll just do whatever we want. And I think we will go to such lengths to not just hear Jesus tell us, you must love your enemies. You must love your enemies. I think our energy should be spent on asking God for the strength to just love our enemies. God, show me how to do this. Give me the strength to do this, because I don't want to do this. Following Jesus is fun. Trying to even be like Jesus is fun, right? The parts of Jesus that are connected to God, we like those parts. We like God in his perfection and avoiding sin and you know, just to get through the day and not treat someone poorly and not speak harshly to my spouse, or not say that in front of my kids. I'm working on those things. And Jesus comes along and says, love your enemies. It's taken everything I got just to love my family. And you want me to love my enemies? And he says, yes. Yes, because that requires mercy. That requires mercy. And God is a God of mercy. God is a God of mercy. We fail so often in following Jesus. And I'll be the first to admit, because you admit it to yourself and you admit it to others. It just, sometimes it's just difficult. It's just difficult to always do what Jesus would do. It's difficult to always treat everyone with love and honor and respect. But it's worth it. It's worth it. Church, this is the amazing thing about Jesus, because what we get to do is we get to try again. We get to try again. There may be some of us here this morning that are Christians that are said, you know what, I tried those difficult things and that's, I just can't do them. I can't do them. I tried to understand those things, or I've tried to love my enemies, and I've got a specific enemy, and I just can't. I have nothing left in me. I have no more mercy to give. Or I'm just going to live my life, do my part, and just avoid people so that I don't make any enemies. The church, I don't always treat my enemies right. I don't always think of ways in which, how do I pray for them? How do I bless them? How do I extend to them mercy? How do I show them that I'm not waiting for them to be good before I can reflect the glory of God so that they can see it? For those of us that know the Lord, for those of us who have tasted His mercy, who have realized and been saved by the sacrifice of Jesus, because He didn't wait for us to get it all together. He didn't wait for us to fix our lives and then come to Him. He called us out of our death and out of our sin, and He said, you come to me and I'll fix your life. You come to me and let me do what you cannot do yourself. And that's who we are. That's who we are. And the wonderful thing about following Jesus is that He gives us another chance. He gives us another chance. As long as we don't quit. As long as we don't lay it down. As long as we don't give up. Church, you cannot put your cross down. You cannot put your cross down and say, I tried, but my enemies, they're too much. So I'm just going to put my cross down here. I'm still going to be good. I'm still going to avoid sin, but that thing was getting heavy anyway. We'll just leave it. We'll just leave it here. I'll let someone else love my enemies. I'll let someone else do that for me. Church, God knows better than we do. This right here in Luke chapter 6, verse 35. Love your enemies and do good. And lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High. For He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. See, here's the thing, church. When you and I actually do this, when you and I actually love our enemies, when you and I don't wait for the apology, we're just generous with forgiveness. When you and I don't wait for our feelings to no longer be hurt, we just treat them well anyway. When you and I no longer keep score among our earthly relationships or our spiritual relationships, when you and I just trust God with everything, something amazing happens. Something amazing happens. And what happens is God's children look like God. We bear the name. We proudly bear the name of Jesus, do we not? Absolutely. We love the family name. We love it. We'd put it on a business card if we could. Put it on a nameplate. Maybe we need nameplates. We love that. We absolutely love that. But God says, if you want to truly be my children, if you want to carry my name into this world and love your enemies, show mercy. God looks at us and Jesus looks at those people who were there to hear a good message. And he says, if you want to follow me, if you want to be like me, if you want the benefits of being a part of our eternal family, then be a part of the family. Because this family, the family business is mercy. This family, the family business is not waiting till they have made things right. You see, this family just looks and says, where do I bless? Who do I need to pray for? Who do I need to serve? Who do I need to humble myself before so that they can see God? A church on fire for wanting everyone around them to see our Father in heaven will be able to witness wonderful things. But I fear a lot of us, we failed, didn't we? We tried loving our enemies. It backfired, according to our standards, right? That's one of those things, that's one of those lessons that you and I get, just like the hot stove, right? Whew. Ha ha. Okay, I got it. That hurts. I don't want to do that again. And then we turn into gospel such things as, fool me once. Shame on you. But fool me twice, well, that's just my own fault. Because I should have known better than to make myself vulnerable or put myself in a position where you could hurt me again. Never again. And so what do? We build a fortress around our heart. We build a fortress around our lives. We protect ourselves. And then at some point, we stop looking like our Father in heaven. At some point, I mean, we've still got walls full of mirrors. We're still looking at ourselves. We're still calling ourselves Christians. But at some point when we no longer look like our Father, are we even part of the family? Or have we just surrounded ourselves with mirrors? We're just looking at ourselves and not at Him. I read Luke chapter 6 because that's probably one of the hardest things in the Bible for me to read. It's difficult, but it's worth it. So how is God kind to the ungrateful and the evil? How does He show His mercy? Let's turn over to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. This is a picture of God's mercy. Romans 5 verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him we also have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that sufferings produce endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, in verse 6, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by His life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. I hope you caught that at the beginning and at the end, that what God has done for us brings so much rejoicing. What God has done for us through His Son, Jesus Christ, causes us to sing and to celebrate and to say thank you and to live lives of joy. Every single day we get to get up and remember what Jesus has done for us. Every single day. Every single day we get to start it with a thank you, Lord. Thank you for taking care of me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for forgiving me today. Because today is a new day, a new chance. A new chance to what? A new chance to be better. A new chance to carry your name into this world. A new chance to show others what we know. A new chance to share love and mercy. Christ died for the ungodly. That's God's love. Christ died for the ungodly. While we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. We needed it, and we couldn't do anything to bring it, and so he just brings it of his own accord. Church, that's how we have to see our enemies. That's how we have to see other people. We have to stop waiting for other people to say the first word, to do the right thing, to do whatever it takes to reconcile, and we just have to extend mercy. We just have to extend mercy because that's what God does. And we have to stop. We have to stop and understand, because what are our objections to extending mercy? Oh, well, they'll take advantage of me. Right? I don't want to be hurt again. Well, the way Paul describes it here in Romans chapter 5, that when we do this, all it brings is rejoicing. It brings rejoicing. That's the enemy that tells us, don't trust them again. Don't make yourself vulnerable. They'll take advantage of you. They might hurt you. They might hurt your feelings. They might take from you. There's not enough resources to go around, so you better hold tightly. There's not enough grace to go around. They've already used up their bill. You know, if someone is really taxing your ledger, you got someone that taxes your ledger? And someone that just, they are using up more than their fair share of your mercy. I mean, I gave them second chance. I went so far as a third and a fourth chance. Whew. Hey, when the disciples asked Jesus, Lord, how many times should we forgive? What did he tell them? 7 times 70. 7 times 70. I mean, 7 times, right? Because that's better than our 2 or 3. 7 times, and Jesus said, no. 7 times 70 times. 7 times 700 times. 7 times 7,000 times. Forgive them. But Lord, if I forgive them, if I give them another chance, they'll just mess up again. Huh. You think? How many times have you asked God to forgive you? 7 times? 7 times 70 times? Church, there's not a single one of us that look up to God and say, all right, Lord, I know we've done this before, and I'm afraid that you're going to run out, but I'm going to try again. So will you please forgive me? That's not how we come to the Father. We know the Father. The Father is merciful. We come to him and say, Lord, I tried yesterday. Did not go well. I need you to forgive me, and I'm going to try again today. Your mercies are new every single morning. You let me wake up this morning. I'm drawing breath. I'm going to get to go to work, and I'm going to get to see those people again. So here's another chance. Here's another chance. Or you're just going to walk down the hall of the living room. Ah, these people are still here. Here's another chance. Here's another chance. I'm going to extend mercy. I'm going to get it right today, Lord. And then we don't. We don't get it right. So what do we do? What do we do? Well, we rejoice. What do you mean we rejoice? Michael, what do you mean we rejoice? We rejoice. We rejoice in the mercy that God has shown us. And we rejoice in the opportunity to show mercy to others. Well, what if it's hard? What if it hurts? What if they, well, he takes care of that in verse 3. Not only that, we rejoice in our suffering. We rejoice in our suffering. I've forgiven this enemy so many times. I did the 7 times 70. They're still not any nicer. They still act like an enemy. They still say mean things to me. They still hurt my feelings. They're still rude to me. They still think they're better than me. They are. So now that we got that out of the way, because Jesus came to his followers and said, the Son of Man, even the one who is at the side of the Father, through whom all things are made, through him, by him, and for him, that same Son of God did not come here to be served, but to serve. Who are we? Who are we to look at our Father in heaven and say, look, I know what you've done. I know the mercy you've shown me. And I know who you are. But Lord, I don't want to be in the mercy business. I don't want to love my enemies. I just want to avoid sin. I just want to put all my efforts in being good. Can we just be okay with that? Can I just be good and you bring me the reward, the being good reward? And just give me all the great things that heaven has to offer one day because I'm so good. You know what the Lord, you know how he responds to that, right? He says, I already got a good one. Right? Yeah, there's only one that's good. God's already got a good one. He needs you to be merciful. He needs you to be merciful. And so we're going to suffer, so we rejoice anyway. Why? Because our suffering, it produces endurance. Oh, great, just what I wanted. The strength to endure more suffering. Thank you, Lord. Yes, thank you, Lord. I can endure more suffering than I could endure last week. I don't just lose it as easily as I did before. I don't just fly off the handle. I'm not triggered by those same things that triggered me last year. I'm getting better. I'm learning to endure. I'm learning to trust God. I'm becoming more like Jesus. And whenever I do that, you know what God does? He puts me in more situations in which I get to extend mercy. That is, because of his grace flowing through my life, more people get to see what he's like. Praise God! Isn't that our goal, church? Isn't that who we're called to be? It absolutely is. Suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. That's right. Enduring through suffering makes me a person that's, I don't know, worth half of something. Produces character. Makes me something. It makes me somebody. And character produces hope. And hope doesn't put us to shame. Hope doesn't put us to shame because God doesn't lie. I love this, what he says in verse, let me find the verse. Verse 9. Sorry, verse 10. We were reconciled to God by the death of his son. You know reconciled? Reconciliation? By the death of Jesus, we were reconciled to God. That is, by God sending his son to die on the cross for our sins, he made it possible for us to come back to him. He opened the door. He made it possible for us to enter into relationship. So we are reconciled by the death of Jesus, but look what he says in verse 10. This is so awesome. How much more shall we be saved by his life? How much more shall we be saved by the life of Jesus? Reconciled by his death, saved by his life. Now, that's not today's sermon. That's a whole nother 45 minutes. So we'll have to talk about that later. But even just that one verse. In fact, I'd encourage you, if you want to underline one thing and you want to study it this week, Romans 5:10. You figure out what that means. Reconciled by his death and saved by his life. That's big stuff. That's big stuff. But we'll continue on. How can we not rejoice at the mercy we've received? How can we not rejoice? And how can we not help but share in his mercy? Let's turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. The Apostle Paul is going to show us, here's what God's mercy did for him. Here's what effect it had on his life. 1 Timothy chapter 1, let's go down to verse 12. 1 Timothy 1:12. I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, I was an insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Look, the saying's trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I receive mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. I don't want anyone to cause any more suffering. I don't want you to go out this week and hold the coats of those killing in the name of God. But I want you to know that you are no better than Paul. You're no worse than Paul, but you're no better than Paul either. We are not. And so to hear him say, by the strength of Jesus Christ, he has judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. He said, at one time, my life without Christ, it was wrong. It was bad. I acted in ignorance, but what did God do? He showed me mercy. What did God do? He showed me mercy. Church, this is our story. May we never forget. May we never forget our story, because our story connects us to others. But you know, most people just look at Christians. They just look at us who have come here this morning. And they're like, what are they doing? Why? Why do they come together on a Sunday morning, dress up a little bit, and what? Okay, so they sing some songs. They read from their old book, and they just think they're better than us. If that's how the world sees the followers of Jesus, we missed it. We missed it. Should they not instead look at us and say, oh, I know those people. Those people are merciful. Those people are merciful. Yeah, I knew a Christian once. He was a business partner of mine. I cheated him out of a lot of money. He forgave me. Oh, I know those people. Yeah, I knew one of them one time. I know. Our kids were playing outside together. And their kid got hurt at my place. Totally our fault. They didn't sue us. Didn't even send us a medical bill. It's the weirdest thing. I know those people. I totally wronged one of them one time. It's totally my fault. We're friends now. Yeah, it's crazy. They talk to me and everything. They want to hang out with me. Mercy. What if we, the sons and daughters of a merciful God, are known for mercy? Something to think about, isn't it? I mean, do they look at us and say, oh, yeah, those are the good people. Those are the good people. Those are the merciful people. Paul seemed to got it. I hope we get it. That in our sin, Christ died for us, and he did so to serve as a witness to his patience in our lives. Church, may it never be our perfection that we proclaim. May it always be the perfection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because if we are proclaiming ourselves and not Him, we have missed the gospel. We have tasted His mercy. And it's so good we have to share His mercy. I want to close this morning with a song. Turn over to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. How are we going to, how are we going to get back up after we've messed up? How are we going to find the humility and joy in showing others mercy when we need so much mercy ourselves? Psalm 51. Psalm 51, it says in the little note at the top that this song was a song of David. And Nathan had gone to him and pointed out his sin with Bathsheba. David knows he's messed up. He knows what he did was horrible. Horrible. I mean, in essence, killed another man to have his wife. That's what he did. I mean, his hands weren't holding the knife, but that's what he did. He had someone killed because he wanted his wife. And then, after having this pointed out to him, he writes this song. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth and the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let my bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise, for you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then will you delight in right sacrifices and burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered to your altar. David cries out to God, forgive me once again. Forgive me once again and create in me a clean heart. Wash away my sins. Blot them away. Take them out of our sight. I know what I have done, and I know that it has hurt you and me and others, even though my sin is before you alone. Renew a right spirit. God, I want to do what is right. I want to follow you. But I'm weak. So renew my spirit. Remind me who you are and who I am. Fix this, Lord. Because when you do, I will teach others your ways. And my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. Don't cast me out, but restore the joy of my salvation. Could you imagine if we could sing this morning as loud as we have been forgiven? That's what David says. I will sing as loud as I have been forgiven. I will tell others this week of what you have done to fix me. And I will turn to you and only you when I have messed up and when I am broken. Because in you, Lord, I find what I need. Create in me a clean heart. Wash me in the blood of Christ. If you're not a Christian this morning, we invite you to be washed in the waters of baptism. And brothers and sisters, those of the family of the God of mercy, those of us that belong to the Most High God, those of us who have tasted how good His mercy is, may our song be loud. May our song be loud. And may we teach transgressors the wonderful way of God. May we rejoice. May we rejoice in our suffering and rejoice in the mercy that God has shown us to take it away. If you need to respond this morning, we invite you to come. If you need to sing loud this morning, we invite you to sing. If you have an enemy that we just need to pray for, and you need your brothers and sisters praying for you for that specific person, we invite you to share, to lift them up. Because what we read, the words of Jesus this morning, because I know it's been a while, but the words of Jesus from Luke chapter 6, that's not easy. That's not easy, but absolutely necessary.